Hello everybody and welcome back to episode 20 of The Synopsis. I am Zach and join me as we dive down the rabbit hole in today's episode, which we will be talking about some cold reading. Now for those who don't know, a couple of people have asked me from last episode to discuss what cold reading is, about the psychics and how they do it, and what exactly I meant by that when I was talking about the Warrens and Rachel Stavis. So we're going to discuss some cold reading today, but obviously it's The Synopsis and it is the opening episode segment, so let's do our usual this time online. And there has been a lot of things to discuss this time online. Quick disclaimer, I am very, very sick, guys. It may not sound like it. That's the magic of recording with a pop filter, a microphone filter, and a couple of other things. So against my better judgment, I am doing the podcast today, and hopefully you can't really tell that I am that sick. There may be a lot of cuts from where I have to sniff and or cough, or maybe even potentially vomit, but that's okay because you know what? It's going to be entertaining. We're going to have some fun today. We're going to discuss some stuff online, and then I'm going to tell you a little story about what happened to me today right after this quick little segue into this time online. Alright guys, so we have a lot of stuff to discuss about this time online today, but first let me tell you a little story about how my day has been the last couple of days. I woke up sick yesterday, I had a lot of stuffiness, I had sinus headaches, I had sinus infection maybe, I don't know, I didn't feel too good, I was feeling pretty sick, so yesterday was kind of just a very chill, relaxing day for me. It's not exactly easy to do that when you have a baby to take care of, so that was a little bit of a difficult scenario, but we survived, we overcome, we conquered, and we managed to make it through the day. Myself and my wife managed to double team the day and make sure the kiddo was taken care of and make sure I was taken care of, which leads us into today. Today's been pretty stressful. I went outside this morning to bring in my recycling bin from the curbside, and sure enough, I look at my car and there is a flat tire on my car. Had to get that replaced today. Didn't cost that much though, and it cost like $35 with tax, which isn't too bad. That's not bad. But the fact that I had to go driving basically on a rim to the car dealership, not feeling well, feeling still sick, still feeling stuffy. I don't know if I sound stuffy on this podcast, but I definitely am. So I will be making brief pauses every now and then to get my sniff out, to get my cough out, whatever it may be. So I got the car fixed, got the wheel fixed, the tire's good now, I'm good to drive. Perfect, fantastic. And then this happened. My wife called me over because she was yelling at our dog. And I was like, well, what's wrong with the dog? And she said, he's outside. I think he's dropping something and picking it up. I go over there thinking, well, you know, maybe he's got some grass. Maybe he's got a toy, something like that. No. What does this dog have? This dog has a baby bunny, no bigger than probably 3 inches. And I was like, oh shit, what has my dog done? He didn't do anything to the bunny. He just licked the bunny, picked him up occasionally. And he must have heard I'm talking about him because you can hear the clicking and clacking of those nails in the background. I did cut and shave them down today, but he's a lab. He has big nails sometimes on the hardwood. It still makes a clicky clacky sound. So here I am holding this bunny, trying to get out of shock, trying to make sure its body's still working, make sure its legs are moving. He seemed to be moving his butt right. His back left leg, it was. Wasn't moving that well. So I held on to him for a bit. I calmed him down. And the bunny seemed to get better. So we let him out into the woods around where we live, onto the creek. He seemed to be okay. So he just kind of bounced away very slowly, very hesitantly. I kept my eye on him. I went back there like an hour later. He was still in the same area. But he seemed to be doing okay. His breathing had calmed down. He was looking around. He was more aware. So now he is doing good. And my cat has just jumped onto the recording podcast right now, because I just had to drag her out, kicking and meowing, from my baby's room where my baby is trying to sleep. And my cat just wants to be a nuisance right now. So she is messing around with the pop filter and she just jumped down. So hopefully you guys didn't hear that, and hopefully it didn't affect anything too much. So, with my little stories out the way, with my cat not disrupting me anymore, let's get into this time online and let's begin with The Amazon rainforest. Guys, if you haven't heard, the Amazon rainforest was on fire. Still 10% of it is on fire. Luckily, it is raining again in Amazonia. So therefore, the fire has been taken care of most of the way. Mother Nature said, fuck this. You're ruining my nature. I'm going to help it and protect it. So she has done her job and protected the rainforest. However, this is something that was not really publicized until it was on social media, on Twitter, on Instagram, Facebook, all of those things. And my question is, why wasn't it publicized sooner? This is something that we could have avoided. We know the planet is in danger right now with environmental stuff, so let's try and save it just a little bit more. Amazonia being on fire is not a good thing. You hear my cat meowing in the background as I'm trying to make a point here. She is upset with me because I got her out of the baby's room, so she is not leaving me alone. She is staying by my side right now, so you may hear meows every now and then. I'm sorry. Back to the topic of the Amazonia being on fire. So let's make sure that we're trying to stop things like this. Global warming's causing this. The ice caps are melting. There's a lot of problems right now with the world that we need to start trying to reverse while we can. I feel like every single podcast I am preaching about trying to save the earth. It isn't one of those things where I'm preaching non-stop, guys. This is a serious problem that we need to address before it is too late, before our future generations cannot take care of it. We are in trouble, and this is something we need to be watching right now. I said last episode about cigarette butts, and just recently on my Twitter I saw a little pouch that said, keep America clean, please do not litter, and it was a little case where you could put your cigarette butts. I mean, you can do that, or you can stop smoking. Either or will help. Any little thing you do to help the environment, whether it be recycle, whether it be to reuse a jar, whatever it may be, every little thing helps. I know you're sitting there thinking, well, Zach, just one straw isn't going to hurt. That one straw can be a difference, because you thinking that and 6 million other people thinking that, that's now 6 million straws. And my cat is meowing at me again. She wants me to pet her while she eats. That is not going to happen, Puma. You are lucky you are an inside cat. That's all I have to say to you, meow. That's all I'm saying. As I was saying, littering, big problem. Let's try and resolve that. The Amazonia stuff, big problem. So let's move on. Please try and help the environment. Please try and save the world. It's the only thing that's basically keeping us around. The Amazonia is 80% of our oxygen in the world, and we need to take care of it while we can. Moving on, let's talk about something on a more of a serious note before we get into anything else on This Time Online. We're going to talk about the RIP Reese hashtag that was trending recently on Twitter. It was regarding a man who was openly dating and in love with a transsexual female, and he ended up taking his own life due to the online bullying, the in-person bullying, and the torment that he was getting for being openly in a relationship with this transsexual woman. Terrible, terrible thing here for Reese. For Marcus, I think that was his real name. I feel very sorry for his family, for him. It was a terrible situation. This man was being bullied relentlessly regarding his relationship. It doesn't matter who you're dating at the end of the day, whether it be male, female, trans, bi, straight, asexual, whatever it may be. I know I'm missing a lot out there. LGBTQ is something that needs to be accepted now. We're in 2019, nearly 2020, and we're still getting such homophobic, racist attacks on people. It was bad enough that it was a transsexual woman, but a black transsexual woman as well. So he didn't get just hate from the trans people who hated the trans community. He got people who hated black people, and he got hate from his own race because of what he was doing. They thought it was disrespectful to their ancestors, to their race. It was just against everything, and he got double the hate. And eventually this young man unfortunately took his own life because of this. This is something I shouldn't be talking about in 2019. I should be talking about how this man is still continuing his life, potentially getting married, and is openly happy in his relationship, and openly happy to share it with people. There is no way, shape, or form I should be discussing this man killing himself in 2019 with everything that is going on in the world. This is the least of everyone's problems. This isn't even a problem. This is something that should be accepted. It has only just been accepted in recent states to legalize gay marriage and stuff like that. So why can't we just get over it? Like, we're a generation that's evolving, and the older generations are the generations that are holding us back, that are keeping us back, and the back ass way they're teaching their kids and all that stuff in different countries and different states, that backwards bullshit that people just need to get over, move along, move up with the generation, like move with the times, guys. If you're not moving with the times and you're stuck in time, what's the point in being in this time? There isn't. If you want to be stuck in that time, keep that shit to yourself. Keep it in your own little community area. Go to a new state, create a new state, create a new country, and you can have all the hatred you want in the world, and watch how quickly you guys kill each other off, because you'll end up hating each other as well. It's time to allow people into life. Allow people to do what they want to do. That's why I'm doing these podcasts. This is something that I feel not obligated to do, but kind of obligated, because like I said, I'm sick today, so this was one where I'm really pushing through. But I want it to be a podcast where people enjoy themselves, they feel free to communicate with myself, they feel free to communicate with other fans, and it's a friendly discussion, a friendly environment. I don't want that hate environment. If that's what we're getting, I don't want to involve myself in that. And I know we talk about politics, and we talk about guns, and we talk about all stuff like that, but what we need to remember is these aren't me bad-mouthing anybody. Like, yes, there's times where I'm going to talk bad about certain things that happened in the media, but it's not going to be over something like because they're a transsexual woman or a transsexual man or whatever it may be. It's more of a case that, hey, this man touched children, or this was a mass shooting and this guy said he was going to kill people. That's the kind of stuff we're going to talk about when we're having discussions and stuff. It's not going to be a case of, oh, being gay is wrong or whatever, against God. Or listen, I spoke about this in a couple of episodes ago. I don't care what your religion is. I don't care what your color is. I don't care what your sexual identity is. All I care about is what you are as a person. If you're a shitty person, I'm going to treat you like a shitty person. It's as simple as that. It doesn't matter to me what, and like I just said, what any of your characteristics are. If you're a shitty person, you're a shitty person. If you're a good person, you're a good person. The old cliche is what's on the inside is what matters. And that's true in the world right now. You are a shitty person on the inside, you're shitty on the outside. I don't care how attractive you are, how smart you are, how rich you are. If you're shitty on the outside, on the inside, you're shitty on the outside. So just remember that if you're shitty on the inside, you are on the outside. And it showed in this story, the unfortunate timely passing of Reese. My thoughts are with his family, with his girlfriend, like the way he was treated. There was a video about it on Twitter. Don't look it up if you are easily offended or triggered, because it was very offensive. It's just one of those things where you just don't want to be a part of it. So moving on from the This Time Online there, let's move on to something a little bit more lighthearted. 13 Reasons Why came back today as of recording 23rd of August, and thus far I'm about 4 episodes in and I do not like any. This show is very unrealistic for the one reason that I pointed out to my wife. When she was in the school and she said hello to people and she said, "Hi, I'm Annie, blah blah blah," nobody once asked her where she was from, why she's in America. I get asked that on a daily basis, and I've worked with people for 5 years who still ask me that shit, where am I from in England. You cannot tell me that this girl just came into a high school, just started talking, and everyone was like, "Oh, okay, she's British, English, whatever, okay, cool." They say she's British on the show, they never say she's English. There is a difference between Britain and England. Britain is a collection of 3 countries. That is what Great Britain is, a collection of the 3 countries. England is one country. It's like me saying the United States is one country, and the states are different, obviously different areas. That is what it is between Great Britain and England. So just thought I'd throw that out there. 13 Reasons Why is supposed to be very good this season. A lot of people are bad-mouthing it. Season 1 was obviously the best season because that's what the main story was based on, the Hannah Baker situation. Season 2 was kind of up in the air. Season 3, people are like, meh, about it. So I'm going to hold my judgment until I'm finished watching the whole entire series. Maybe a couple of days, maybe on Monday I'll have a full review. I don't know, it depends on everything. I have a full work weekend scheduled in front of me. And being sick as well, like I said, doing this podcast while sick is definitely a struggle. I keep pausing constantly to do it, but that's okay. Let's talk about the last thing on This Time Online today. And we're going to talk about Trisha Paytas. And Trisha has gone off on one against the vlog squad of David and Scotty and Jason and Jeff. Jeff and Scotty have a podcast, it's called The Scottcast. And basically, Jeff on this podcast was bad-mouthing Trisha, and he didn't say her by name because he said he didn't want to start drama, or blah blah blah. So, in this podcast, Jeff was like, "Oh, I didn't want to be in the same room with her, he saw her in the Starbucks, he left before getting his drink, he said his first instinct was to smack her, like to assault her. Not cool. Man on woman violence, never cool. Any type of violence isn't cool. Like I said, guys, we're in a day and age where violence should be the last thing on our mind. We should be learning to live together. But I'm not going to preach any of that stuff here. Check it. Trisha then put a video up maybe an hour later, badmouthing Jeff, threatening to expose stuff from the Vlad squad, saying how everyone has yes men around them because David's in charge, and they're all saying yes David, no David, how David was basically the one who broke up her and Jason, how Jeff is a shitty person, how Todd is a shitty person, how Dom uses women. It was this whole thing, and I don't think we've heard the last of it between Trisha and the Vlog Squad. I'm pretty sure the Vlog Squad aren't going to respond because they're probably under instructions by David to say, hey, keep away from the drama. It's something that we don't need in our life. We just need to keep it clean, keep it effective, and keep going with the vlogs, keep going with what we do, and that's that. David's done pretty well keeping away from the drama. One thing I will say, what Trisha said that made me chuckle a little bit, she said the reason that David is single is because of how he is, and there's a reason that Liza broke up with him. They got me a little bit of a laugh because obviously we all know Liza and David used to be in a relationship for a while, and then they both said work schedule and stuff. Liza seems to be a lot happier right now. I'm not gonna lie, Liza seems to be happy. She seems to be finding herself again and doing her own thing. So I don't know, maybe Trisha had a point there. I'm not taking sides on this. I love David's videos. I watch David every time he uploads. I do. However, if Trisha has a point here, then I don't know, maybe it'll be interesting to hear Liza's side of the story, or have Jeff and Trisha in a room, maybe beef it out, I don't know, but it was definitely an interesting video to watch. So, with that being said, Trisha versus the Vlog Squad, let's get into our main topic today. We're going to talk about cold reading of the psychics, and we're also going to talk about psychics who have been claimed to do some cold reading and some infamous cases of that. So strap in. I don't know how long this episode is going to be. Like I said, I'm pretty sick. Probably like 15 minutes in right now. I already feel like I've been recording for 2 hours. But hey, you gotta do what you gotta sometimes suffer through the pain to do something you love. And like I said, I love doing these episodes. And since we're on episode 20, we will be doing some song lyrics after for the final segment. We got a good song today, guys. I'm pretty sure you guys will be happy about it. So stay tuned. Get yourself a little break while we have this commercial, and we will be right back with the next story on the synopsis. Okay guys, before we start this part of the cold reading, I want to give a quick shout out to our sponsors of the podcast, ethcs.com. That's right, we are talking about ethics.com again, with their great vegan product that do their shirts in child, women and males, from very small to triple XL. If you want something that's PETA certified, vegan friendly and some great quality, go ahead and check out my friends at ethics.com, or check them out on Instagram, ethcs. They will do great things for you. And right now, if you spend over £50, you will get free shipping in anywhere in the UK. Outside of the UK, it's going to be £80 for your free shipping. Check them out. Tell them the synopsis sent you, and have some fun. Also, if you're looking to get some investment in the stock market and you're looking for a free share, go ahead and hit me up on Twitter or on Instagram at the Synopsis Pod on Twitter and at the Synopsis Podcast on Instagram. I will get you a free share to any potentially high thing from GE to Apple. It will be completely free. You just have to use my Robinhood link that I will send to you. That's Robinhood on the app or Play Store. Download it, get me a DM, and then I will send you my code to get you a free share. You have nothing to lose, completely free. If you don't like the app, after 3 days, you can withdraw the money after you sell the share, get the money, and delete the app. Everything is free. So, let's talk about cold reading. We talked about it a little bit in the Warrens podcast that we did last episode, and a little bit with Rachel Stavis. In no way, shape, or form am I going to accuse any of these people of cold reading. But it has been stated, like we said with the Warrens, that they had been able to elaborate on their stories, and they were great storytellers. Now, I'm not saying Rachel does this by anything whatsoever, but let's talk about what cold reading is. So cold reading is actually used by not just psychics and mediums, it's also used by illusionists who are in magic, mentalists who are the ones who do the mind tricks, and also fortune tellers. Fortune tellers, the one with the cards and the tarot cards. With fortune telling and the tarot cards, cold reading is very, very effective. Basically, the idea of cold reading is to analyze the person's body language. So, you look at when somebody walks into their room, let's say I am a fortune teller or a medium. quote-unquote, in air quotes for those listening to the podcast, I am of medium. We'll go with medium. I see a 25-year-old woman, blonde woman. She's wearing a short white dress, pretty tight. She's crying a lot, but she has like a Louis Vuitton bag, the black sunglasses, you know, like your typical Beverly Hills wife kind of thing. From there, I can see, okay, she's crying about something, so chances are she's trying to pretend that she has, like, her sugar daddy has just passed away or something, and she's like, well, I need more money, how am I going to make money, blah, 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 something like that. So you can then use that information that you have and say, okay, you know, obviously somebody who's passed, who's near to you, and then their body language will change depending on the questions you ask. And that's the idea of cold reading. So if the subject, in this case the blonde Beverly Hills woman, is cooperative, she will be able to give subtle cues off, which will include her face, like, you know, smirking or smiling or winking, blinking, body language, or combining those two things together can give a strong impression on what exactly the path I need to go down. So if I'm saying, okay, you obviously have a lot of money and she's smirking, okay, well, she had a sugar daddy, or if she's not smirking, you know, maybe she got inheritance from somebody. So you can use that information to really catch on and get them to believe on what they believe. Now, the opposite to cold reading is hot reading, and that's basically what stage magicians do. Hot reading, they use information that they can already find. So, for example, if I'm trying to think of somebody famous off the top of my head. If somebody I knew who's famous, who everyone knows, let's say Ben Affleck. Does everyone know who Ben Affleck? No, younger viewers might not know. Ninja. Okay, let's use Ninja as an example. Let's say Ninja came in, and we just found out the whole entire situation with Twitch and Mixer, and he comes in, he wants his fortune read, and you already know this information. This is hot reading. So hot reading is where I already know certain information, I can put that into my story, and then I can use that combined with cold reading to basically make Ninja think whatever he wants. So we know about the Twitch and Mixer drama. He comes in, I pull up a tarot card, I say, okay, this is saying there's a lot of struggle in your life, maybe a clash between two people or companies or something like that. He can then be like, oh yeah, there has been a clash between us, blah blah blah, and then there's my hot reading. The hot reading can now start to move forward based with the cold reading. So when you combine the two together, this is basically promising lines of inquiry, and you are pushing the idea of what you're questioning to them to allow them to respond to you in an appropriate way where they think you are actually correct in everything, when in reality they're giving you all the answers. They're telling you that, okay, yeah, there is a problem between Twitch and Mixer. They're both arguing, like Twitch is doing this to my account while Mixer's just trying to support me. Okay, well, why, you know, in the future Twitch is going to stop doing that. And you know you can say that. Why? Because you know as a company, as a whole, like, unit, they have to stop doing that, or there's potentially a lawsuit to happen. So now you can use those cold reading stuff and put it together. Now, when it comes to deceit, like deceased people and stuff like that, I'm going to give a couple of examples of what people could say that would make you think, oh, okay, maybe they are speaking to a dead relative of mine. So what I want you to do right now, if you're listening, I want you to think about somebody who has passed. And I want you to think of anybody whatsoever. Now, I'm going to say a couple of things, and this technique is called shotgunning. I'm going to do a couple of things here, and you are going to just remember that I'm just saying things, but really think about that person and see if I'm describing anything, okay? Listen, I see a heart problem with a big figure in your family. I see a character with blackness in their chest. Maybe it was lung cancer or heart disease or breast cancer, something like that. I sense an older figure in your life who wants you to know that while you may have had disagreements in your life, they still loved you. Okay, now that was three examples of shotgun in there. Did any of those stick? Did any of those examples that I just gave you think, holy shit, he's actually talking about one of my deceased relatives? If one of those did stick, let me know. But think about it like this. Let's say one of those stick. Let's say a sense of an older figure in your life who wants you to know that while you have disagreements in your life, they still loved you stuck. Now you're going to tell me, oh yeah, well, me and my grandpa didn't get along, or me and my grandma didn't get along. Now I can use that information that you just willingly gave me because I used a shotgun technique. Now you gave me willing information where I can drag on the conversation and make you believe I'm speaking to that deceased relative. So let's say we're talking about your grandpa, okay? I see an older male in your life who wants you to know you had a disagreement. He still loves you. Oh yeah, that was my grandpa. Well, your grandpa says he's very proud of you. He says he's sad that he couldn't tell you this while he was still alive. That he is proud of what you are accomplishing and what you will become in life. He's happy to see that. He's sorry he can't be here to witness it himself. Right there. I just shotgun and use cold reading, and now you think about I'm talking about one of your relatives. Isn't that crazy how the mind plays such quick tricks on you? And a lot of scam artists will use this technique to make people believe things that they want to believe. A lot of mediums and psychics, a lot of the TV shows, stuff like that, they use that method of shotgunning. They're in an audience. There's like 150 people. If I say I sent somebody who's had a heart attack in the past, at least half of the audience are going to be like, oh, well, shit, that might be my relative. And then he can just choose out one person and boom, there you go. Now you have your game plan. Now you have your pretend I'm speaking to somebody, and now everyone's amazed because you can do all this in life. And just like that, we have a TV show, now we have millions and millions of dollars. Okay, so that's an example of shotgunning. I'm just throwing out a lot of things quickly. The letter M comes to mind. Okay, that could be Mike, that could be Michael, that could be Michelle, that could be Mum, that could be Mother, that could be Mark, that could be anything. If I'm somebody just has to say that, and boom, you can already give me an example. And even if it's somebody who isn't in your family, yeah, I could be saying, well, they might not be passed yet. And then you could be like, oh, well, my brother's called Michael. Oh, yeah, your relative is talking about Michael. He says that he wants to talk to you more, something like that. See, now we're using the conversation that you just gave me willing information about to lead it into the way that I want it to go. And now I can find out more about the deceased relative that you're trying to talk about. And then I can use that information to get money from you. And that's when people get repeat customers coming in. Oh my god, he's the best psychic I've ever been to, the best medium, he knows everything. Well, I don't know shit. The only things I know are what you told me. And this is something that is very big in the psychology world. And if any psychologists are listening to this, or counselors or anything like that, maybe you can use the cold reading to get towards your clientele more. Or maybe it's an easy way to like try and figure out what their problem is. A lot of drug addicts do the same thing here, where you will just send out random shotgunning techniques, and then they eventually open up to you because they believe that you're connecting with them on a different level, even though realistically, you're just using your own information and letting them talk to you. So that's definitely one of the techniques that a lot of people would use, and something that I personally, if I was going to do this, I would use a shotgunning technique just so people would think about, you know, they give me the information. Now we have another technique here called the Fora effect, aka the Barnum statement. And the Fora effect basically is what we discussed a bit with the shotgun technique. It uses the eagerness of what people want to hear to add basically play connect the dots, and you don't need to figure it out. So the Barnum statement comes from the name P.T. Barnum, who was an American showman, and statements seem to be personable yet apply to many people. And while seemingly specific, such statements are often open-ended or give the person the maximum amount of wiggle room when thinking about it. So examples of this statement could be as the following. Again, think of another relative, living or past, it doesn't matter. I could say here, I sense that you are sometimes insecure, especially with people you don't know very well. Now if I say that, that is probably is 95% of my audience right there, sensing they're insecure with people they don't know well. Well, let's think about that statement right there. If you don't know that person, you're not going to be sure about them, because you're getting to know them, you're trying to figure out their lifestyle, you're trying to figure out who they are as a person. So yes, you are going to feel insecure. Me saying that now, you think I know more about your life than I do. And again, this comes back to the psychological brain that we have, and using that sense of the unknown. And we're using that sense of the unknown that you don't know if I'm speaking to another spirit, or if I'm just trying to read you. If I'm saying you're insecure with people you don't know very well, that's the most open-ended statement you could probably ever hear. Another example would be you have a box of old unsorted photographs in your house. Now that may change a little bit now because we're in a new digital age. So it'd be like you have unsorted photographs on your cell phone. because a lot of people have pictures on their phone, or photos on their cell phone, and they don't have them organized, they're like just scattered around as random things. So maybe we update that phrase a little bit, but it gives you that wiggle room where you can think that I'm having a connection with you, but I'm not. We go back to the insecure of people you don't know very well. If I say that to you and you're like, yeah, you're right, I'd be like, well, tell me somebody you're not sure about and I will tell you about them. And they'll throw out a name and then they can use that name. Or the name's Danielle. Let's say the name's Danielle. It's the first name that popped in my head and the first name that I'm really looking on this whole entire cold reading thing. So let's say you're insecure with Danielle. And I'm saying, okay, you're insecure with Danielle, but I have this feeling that Danielle isn't insecure of you and she's open with you. And then your response to me is like, well, yeah, maybe she's said she can, you know, she'll do this with me and she'll go out with me and she'll do this and she'll do whatever. Okay, well, if Danielle's saying that, she's saying that openly because she has feelings and the feelings should be reciprocated and you don't feel that comfortable with it because you're afraid to get into that relationship or you're afraid to meet that person or afraid of getting hurt. Now, boom, I've just gone into your whole entire personal life and you ain't no shit about it. I've just put together the two and two that you gave me. You gave me the information of you feeling insecure about this potential relationship or potential friendship with this other person. And I've put two and two together and got 12. If you're thinking, Zach, well, what the fuck do you mean? Well, I've just put the dots together. I've told you a random open-ended statement. And the open-ended statement is this right here. Is Danielle would like you to reciprocate those feelings to further your relationships together. Now that was open-ended relationship. What kind of relationship? A friendship? An actual boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, fiance, fiancee? It's an open-ended statement which you can fill in the gaps from. We'll use another example here. You're having problems with a friend or a relative. And again, another simple thing to say that everyone will fill in the gaps for you automatically. We have problems with friends and relatives every single day. There's not one time in the whole entire day you don't ever argue with a coworker, a friend, you on Instagram, you on Twitter, you texting somebody. There's always an argument or a disagreement somewhere in there. And you just put two and two together and gave me the answer that I was looking for. Now I can use that information and give it to you. Now this type of reading is the easiest to do when you are talking about those who are in mourning. Because when they are in mourning, their brain cells, their whole entire demeanor, their personality is more vulnerable. So if I'm talking to a vulnerable person in a vulnerable state of mind, they are going to give me more answers willingly and unknowingly than somebody who is on edge. So for example, if I see somebody who's wearing jewelry that has someone else's name on it, I can assume they're in mourning because of that person who has passed, or even if it isn't their name, like it's their wife's name, or they're like, let's say their dad passed and then it's his wife's name and like it's her mother's name or something like that, but it's still her dad's jewelry. Now I can use that information, use it on the vulnerable state of mind that those in mourning are in right now, in that whole entire definition, and then use that, and they're going to believe that I am somebody I am not. Now, an example of this is a book called The Skeptic's Dictionary. And it's basically a whole entire thing that was wrote by Robert Todd Carroll. And it was published on a website called Skeptic, that's skepdic.com. If you want to check it out, go ahead. It was launched in 1994. So it's basically saying all these different kinds of ways that people are skeptic about, with new age beliefs, logic and perception, junk science and pseudoscience, frauds and hoaxes, UFOs, which we've talked about, supernatural and metaphysical things. So go ahead and check that out. But he uses a lot of these examples here on how skeptics can do, or not skeptics, sorry, how mediums and frauds do that on those who are very vulnerable state of mind. Again, if you haven't looked up on YouTube the Derren Brown mind reading, check it out, or the cold reading Derren Brown, Derren space Brown, Brown. Check that out. His cold reading will give you a perfect example of what I'm talking about here. Now then we're going to talk about the last kind of cold reading that is used commonly, which is called the Rainbow Ruse. And the Rainbow Ruse is basically one of those things where I can cover every single possibility and make it seem that you know what I'm talking about. I'm using very vague statements, very contradictory statements, but these statements are then perfect so you guys fill in the blank. So I can say here, for example, again, think of a person or living, deceased, whatever it may be, think of that person, and when I say these things, see if I'm basically putting the blanks together here. Okay, now you're thinking of somebody, let's begin. I would say that the person you're thinking about is shy and quiet, but when the mood strikes, they easily can become the center of attention. Maybe the person most of the time is positive and cheerful, but there's been a time in their past where they were very, very upset. They're a kind and considerate person, but maybe when somebody does something to break their trust, they have this deep-seated anger. Okay, those are the three examples right there. And I can use those on you, or talking about a deceased one or a family member. If you were thinking about yourself, does that apply to you? I can say, you know, you're mostly quiet and shy, but when it hits you, hey, you can be the center of attention, and you're the life of the party. You're loving life when the time is right, but most of the time, you want to be back in the shadows. You want to be sitting there observing those. That's the rainbow ruse. I'm using perfect examples of, I'm saying you're quiet, but then I'm saying you're loud. I'm saying you're considerate, but then I'm saying you're angry. I'm saying you're cheerful, but I'm also saying you're upset. Open-ended, contradictory statements that you guys can think about and be like, okay, shit, he's right, but he's also wrong. Now, when you do that, you really cover the aspect of everything. And when you are in that vulnerable state of mind again, that's when mediums and these frauds can use that to their advantage. And I'm not saying mediums are frauds. What I'm saying is the medium frauds, the ones who are going on Hollywood Boulevard, going down the street and saying, hey, I can read your mind for $5, you know, I can give you a tarot reading for $1. Those are the kind of people that we're talking about here. So with these examples of cold reading, we're going to take all three of these examples and we're going to look into some like mediums and some showrunners, whatever it may be. We're going to look at them right after this quick commercial break and really dive into depth on how these are being used and how it has screwed over people in the past. So stay tuned right here on The Synopsis. Okay, so I've given you three examples of cold reading, and what we're going to do now is we're going to talk about a psychic from the UK, because that's where I'm from. That's really the first person I like to think of who has been quote-unquote exposed as using these cold readings and hot readings, actually, to be basically outcasted as a fake medium and using it for nothing but fame and for money. This man, his name is Derek Acora, and he was the host for the UK TV ghost hunting show Most Haunted. Now, you can probably YouTube the show if you're American and find a shit ton of episodes on there, but Derek Acora has been receiving a lot of criticism and doubt over him actually being a psychic. And I know a lot of you are there were like, how can you do that? Well, let's talk about the cold reading and stuff like that. So, in 2012, let's just start off here. Derek Acora claimed to have received a psychic message from Madeline McCann via his spirit guide. Now, his spirit guide is someone he calls Sam, and he's like from the 16th century, and he's been with Derek ever since he was born. He stated that Sam gave him this message, that Madeline gave it to her, that she had died a long time ago and was soon being reincarnated. After the media was angry about it, Derek Acora used the same newspaper he issued the "I've received a message from Madeline." He said, "Hey, I'm sorry to her parents." So, right there, everyone's been like, you know, he's already in question about court line and stuff like that. And this was in 2012, where he's like, "Yeah, she's dead now. Can't do anything about it. She's going to be reincarnated soon." So a lot of people are like, well, what the fuck, you know, why? Why would he say something like that? And basically, he was getting money. He was getting money for saying that. He was working for a newspaper, and that's what happened to him. So Derek Acora has been branded fake by the other co-host of the show at the time. Her name was Yvette Fielding. And the reason that they said something is wrong with the way he says is that they said when they decided to start filming, he decided to be possessed by a fake person. And the fake person's name was called Creed Kaffer. Now, Acora was in earshot, and the rumor was this guy was a nasty South African jailer, and that he had died in the building and was haunting it. Now, this was complete bullshit. This was something that the production crew made up to see if he would use it and to see if he was fake. So they started their investigation, they did some recording, and when they started filming, he got possessed by this fake person. Now, the name was actually an anagram of Derek Faker, which they were making fun of him basically being a faker. We tell people everything is real, then it turns out he was a fake medium, so they got rid of him after that. But they said he was egotistical, big-headed, over the top, he was just a horrible person to be around. Now, he's tried to defend himself, saying that, you know, he's real, that this was a one-time thing where he didn't understand what was going on. So, there's a multiple scenarios of this happening. So, he told live TV viewers Sam, his guardian angel, had informed him about Creed Kafer and went on to tell this terrible story, and they couldn't believe that this was actually broadcasted online. There was another anagram that they did, which was the name Rick Edels, which was an anagram for Derek Lies. Again, he took the bait and he started to pretend to be haunted by this Rick Edels and possessed by him. Now, I don't understand why you would do this, but this is the story here. So season 6 started, they left the piece of paper, he started the possession, they thought he was lost, and then basically he turned around and said he was haunted by all these people. And it was just one of those things where now he's using the cold reading and the hot reading that we have talked about earlier to really use it into his advantage. So now this man is on television telling people that he is being possessed, and that now people are calling him, emailing him, asking for gigs, asking for him to come and help contact their relatives. And he's charging $300-$500 an hour. Now he's making a lot of money off of this. So when you're there sitting to yourself thinking, well, why would you lie about this? This is why. He's making a lot of money about this stuff. Let's talk about another scenario. I need to sneeze real quick, so I'm going to be right back after this. Yes, I did manage to pause the podcast while I was recording before I sneezed, so you guys got lucky there. Another example and person we're going to talk about here is more for my US listeners. The name is Teresa Caputo, and she is the Long Island medium. And much like Derek Okoro, she has been criticized and accused of being a fraud and a fake. She's also had a lawsuit against her for fraud. So that's really saying how big of a fraud this woman potentially is. I've been sneezing for the last 5 minutes non-stop, so off and on pauses with the podcast. I do apologize. So let's talk about Teresa Caputo. So Teresa Caputo started off in 2011 with the show Long Island Medium. She started doing the show, got pretty popular, and then started to receive criticism. A lot of people have proven to have actually been a fraud. The TV show Inside Edition, publications like Wired Magazine, people have described her as a charlatan, said her claims weren't true. It was a whole entire disaster. In 2012, the Pegasus Award was awarded to Teresa Caputo, a tongue-in-cheek award that seeks to expose parapsychological, paranormal, or psychic frauds. It was basically invented to make fun of them. It was one of those things where, like, hey, you are fake. This is an explanation saying how fake you are. It turns out a lot of the information she was given on the show, people were just going along with, that they were paid actors, and she was just basically a performer. Paranormal investigator Massimo Polidoro says that she's a performer. Investigations done say that she's just basically a bunch of crap. In 2013, Chris Angel offered $1 million to Caputo if she could prove her claims that she was a psychic, which, ironically, was never taken up on. Now, Chris Angel is a completely different thing. He is a magician. We could talk about him all day long at some point. But let's talk a little bit about Massimo Polidoro. Now, Massimo, guys, you may be able to tell real quick before I continue that I'm getting pretty, pretty stuffy. And I don't know how much longer I'll be able to do this, but I'm going to try. So, Massimo Polidoro is an Italian psychologist, writer, journalist, co-founder and executive director of the Italian Committee of Investigations of Claims of Pseudoscience. Now, pseudoscience is basically the claim of paranormal activity, paranormal vibes, all that stuff, the radio frequencies, the waves, all that stuff. He was fascinated by magic when he was younger and psychic phenomena. He learned through TV series and books how to investigate parapsychology. He also has a YouTube channel. He was interviewed by Susan Gerbic of Skeptical Inquirer in 2018, stating that he was starting a YouTube channel in English called Stranger Stories Polidoro is basically a YouTuber now. So 2018, it was October 31st, 2018, his first episode was on YouTube, and he's also a TV star. So this guy has a lot of information and done a lot of researching in the past. Now, if we're talking about psychic phenomena, psychic phenomena is basically where people use ESP or claim to use ESP, like Derek Acora, Teresa Caputo. But there's also been people who have been like legitimate famous psychics. For example, John Edwards. Everyone knows about the John Edwards thing. He is also another one who claims he can use ESP. John Edwards is very controversial in the US because of his shows that were airing on sci-fi. The 9/11 special that he did was very, very, what's the best way to put it? Controversial. Let's say it was very controversial. Now, people have said that Edward uses hot reading and cold reading to do what he does. Now, speaking of John Edwards, we cannot talk any more further without talking about the South Park episode that made fun of John Edwards with the Biggest Douche in the Universe award. That's another example perfect of cold reading and hot reading, when Stan Marsh is basically saying he is a psychic, showing that he knows the techniques that he is using, and then ends up getting his own TV show and becoming a bigger sensation than John Edwards was. So that was definitely a funny episode. If you want to know more about cold and hot reading, check out that episode, Biggest Douche on the Universe. It will definitely give you a little insight to what we are talking about here. So he's another one who just claims to have ESP and stuff like that. Psychics are featured sometimes in fantasy by Stephen King, stuff like that. Just saying that they know how to read stuff and can talk about the life of after death and shit like that. So in 1990, 2% of respondents only thought that extrasensory perception was scientifically demonstrated. So it wasn't a big thing back in the 90s. It's become more of a sixth sense thing in the 2000s. That people believe more about the future and beyond and all that stuff. There's been a lot of research about psychics and psychologists is the word I'm looking for, sorry. There was a lot of investigation. James Van Praagh, I believe that's how you say his name, who was the Ghost Whisperer, was part of a investigation where they said everything he does is a bunch of bullshit. They said in 2013 he filed a lawsuit with the federal court district of New York against his sister, who was quote unquote a psychic, saying that his name and all this shit she's using to benefit from. It's one of those things where he's just trying to make more money for himself. Reality of the situation is they probably don't know shit between the two of them, and this is where they are now, fighting over $100 million or whatever it may be. There's been multiple people who have said that Mr. Praagh is, again, using hot and cold reading. In 2019, he was on a segment on Last Week Tonight. John Oliver criticized the media for promoting TV psychics such as Praagh because this exposure convinces viewers that such powers are real and enable neighborhood psychics to prey on grieving families. Something that we've said about in the past, about the past of the podcast even, with the grieving families being in a vulnerable state. All of this stuff that people are talking about and saying investigations and shit, they are using science here. And yes, we've talked about how sometimes this isn't science necessarily, where people can talk to these spirits or entities or whatever it may or may not be. But when your back-of-the-mill, run-of-the-yard psychic is using grieving families or whatever it may be, somebody in a vulnerable state, and making a quick buck off of them, this is where people have a problem with it. Now, those aren't really saying that, like, Rachel, for example, Rachel Stavis, who we talked about last episode, nobody's saying, hey, Rachel's fake, everything she does is for a get her gain, blah blah blah. Now, there are some people on YouTube who are saying that, but the genuine of the public, like, the synopsis is that, oh, hey, look at that, you see the pun there, the synopsis, you like that, yeah, just me, okay, just me, cool. But the general outcome, oh, that voice crack as well, the general outcome is that, you know, what she's saying is legitimate. Now, they're obviously going to do scientific tests and stuff like that and investigate her to make sure she's not making stuff up, but overall, the overall judgment from the public is, hey, what she's saying is legit. People like John Edwards and Praagh and Derek Acora and Teresa Caputo, all these people have been criticized and skepticized about using hot and cold reason and have had evidence and tests used against them without their knowledge to prove that they are faking their quote-unquote abilities. And whether it be for a multi-million dollar a company or an executive producer, whatever it may be, they are still preying on the innocence of grieving people or grieving families or somebody who wants closure to make themselves money. And even if it's on a TV show, they're still making themselves money by using the hurt and pain of others. And that's complete bullshit. It really is. So for that to be accepted in this society today is not cool, not cool at all. And I know I'm kind of rambling about it, but this is one of those things where I'm so up in the air, because one part of me is like, okay, I believe certain people may be able to have this power. Absolutely. Why wouldn't they? We talk about on previous episodes how us as humans can't be the only people out there in the whole entire universe. It's just not possible. But if we are, if we were the one in the 0.00001% chance of being a planet that could have life, then who's to say that there's not that exact same percentage on the Earth who can communicate with another side or another spirit or another entity? There isn't. And I know we can have this debate all day long. People have debates about religion and stuff like that. This isn't about religion or anything like that. This is just that if there is a small percentage that we are the only people existing in the whole entire universe that is billions and billions of light years apart, then isn't there also a small percentage that people might be able to do this? But for those who are just using that opportunity to take advantage of those in pain or those in grieving, it's disaster. It's pathetic. It's absolutely diabolical. After 9/11, I guarantee, like John Edwards is a perfect example during the 9/11 special and the crossing over show that he did. So many people, so many quote unquote psychics and mediums and all this shit, dear special, open their doors. I guarantee you, looking at the statistics, the whole entire medium industry blew up after 9/11. Why? There's so many people looking for closure, looking for that hope that they can speak to their loved ones one more time. That's what they needed. They needed that closure, and that's what these fake mediums did. They used cold and hot reading to do exactly what they knew the person wanted to hear and to make money off of them. Now, if I did a cold reading on somebody and a hot reading on somebody, and it was during that time, and I got every single thing right, because hey, you know how the readings work now. I got everything right. I could charge that person hundreds of dollars. Hey, well, I just made you have closure. Here, give me $500. Look how much money that can make somebody. So with the hot and cold readings, it's always up for debate about if it's, you know, a fake medium, a real medium, or whatever it may be. It's always up for debate. But I can guarantee you, if you're having people ask questions that are open-ended or contradictory, 9 times out of 100, JK, 100 times out of 100, they're always going to be using hot and or cold reading to give you an answer that you want to hear. With that being said, guys, I am feeling really, really sick. I ain't gonna lie to you, I'm feeling stuffy, my head hurts. So I'm gonna see how long this episode is, and if we're at a decent time, I'm gonna call it a day here. We'll do the song lyrics, and that will be that. And we will go from there. So let's take a quick commercial break. Let me gather my breath, blow my nose, get a drink, and I will be right back as we stay tuned for what's going on next. Who knows? Okay guys, winding down on the synopsis, I am feeling very sick, so I think we are going to round it up there. I'm sorry that this episode may be a little bit short, I do apologize for that, but let's talk real quick about one of the most famous, if not famous, mediums and swindlers in history, Anne Odelia Distebar, also known as Edith Solomon. Harry Houdini quoted as saying this woman was the most extraordinary fake medium, a mystery swindler the world has ever known. She has been in many, many jails and lawsuits and all this shit. She became involved with Victoria Claffin and Tennessee Claffin, who were exponents of the spiritual medium. In 1860 and 1870, she became the wife of Joseph H. Distebar. She produced spirit paintings. She was prosecuted several times for fraud. One noticeable case was the case of Luther R. Marsh, a wealthy and distinguished lawyer who had studied law office. Distebar persuaded the elderly Marsh to give her his townhouse. For this, she was imprisoned for 6 months in 1888. And then the magician Carl Hurt appeared at the prosecution for her. Hurt helped send Horus to jail by duplicating the tricks she had used in her seances. So she put her in jail again. She went to England. She then was trialed for not being able to spook priestesses, and that she had no doubts that she was a fraud. She married William McGowan, who had money. He died. She married another guy, Frank Dutton. She called herself Princess Editha Lolita. And she was expelled from New Orleans in 1899 as a swindler, imprisoned for 30 days after that, went to South Africa, was imprisoned there. She was imprisoned for a lot of things. This woman was definitely a swindler, and definitely a crazy story to hear about. That there's not a lot of information on her, but she is definitely one of those women who will go down in history as the biggest swindler possibly of our generation. Now, if we're talking about mediums and stuff like that, we could talk about Marie Laveau. However, that's more of a voodoo kind of vibe. So maybe if you want me to talk about that later on in another podcast, I can definitely do that. It's one of those where voodoo is a great thing to talk about as well. So, we've discussed a lot of things today regarding cold reading, hot reading, some fake mediums, some fake psychics, and maybe next episode we'll talk about voodoo and kind of stuff like that. Maybe the South African stuff of hallucinogenic drugs and shit like that. I think that would be quite interesting to do. So maybe next episode we will do just that and discuss Marie Laveau a little bit. But like I said in the beginning of the synopsis, it is Friday. It is the last segment of the episode, which only means one thing. It is song lyric time. That is right, song lyric time. We are doing a great song today for song lyrics, and we are going to do it the best we can under the symptoms that I have with the sickness and whatnot. So this will be our last bit of the podcast. Obviously, if you've stuck around this long, thank you so much for listening. I do apologize for it being a shorter podcast today. Like I said, the sickness is definitely getting better of me. I have been rambling a lot. It's been a struggle to keep my eyes open, to talk properly, to not sneeze every 5 minutes or cough. But I've survived this far, so I'm going to try and survive till the end. As always, share us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your podcasts or the synopsis. Give us a share. Share us with your friends, like us on Twitter and on Instagram, have some fun, you know, give me ideas for next episode and stuff like that. I love hearing from the fans. This is what got this episode, basically. The cold and hot reading was a fan idea. So, if you have any ideas, let me know. With that being said, let's get into our song lyrics of the week. This one is by a man you may have heard of called Lil Pump, and this song is Gucci Gang. Gucci gang, 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 Gucci gang. Spend 3 racks on a new chain. My bitch love, do cocaine. I fuck a bitch, I forgot her name. I can't buy a bitch, no wedding ring. Rather go out and buy Balmain's. Gucci gang, 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 Gucci gang. Spent 3 racks on a new chain. My bitch love do a cocaine. I fuck a bitch, I forgot her name. I can't buy no bitch, no wedding ring, no. Rather go and buy Balmain's. Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang. My lean cost more than your rent, it do. Your mama still live in a tent, she do. Still slanging dope in the jets. Me and my grandma take meds. None of this shit be new to me, no. Fucking my teacher, call it tutory. Brought some red bottoms, cost hella G's. Fuck your airline, fuck your company, fuck it. Bitch, your breath smell like some cigarettes, cigarettes. I'd rather fuck a bitch from the projects, projects. They kicked me out the plane off of a Percocet. Now, little pump flying private jet. Everybody scream, fuck WestJet, fuck 'em. Little Pump still sell that meth. 100 on my wrist, sipping on tech. Fuck a little bitch, make her pussy wet. What? Gucci gang, 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 Gucci gang. Spend 3 racks on a new chain. My bitch love, do cocaine. I fuck a bitch, I forgot her name. I can't buy a bitch no wedding ring. Rather go and buy Balmain's. Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang. Gucci gang, 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 Gucci gang. Spend 3 racks on a new chain. My bitch love, do cocaine. I fuck a bitch, I forgot her name. I can't buy a bitch, no wedding ring, no. Rather go and buy Balmain's. Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Lil Pump, Lil Pump. That was Gucci Gang by Lil Pump, and those amazing lyrics, that genius songwriting coming from Pump himself. So if you guys have enjoyed this episode, don't forget to share us on all your social media, get in contact with us, let us know what the next episode should be, give us some song lyric requests, we will read them out next Friday as we do every single Friday episode from here on out. With that being said, guys, thank you so much for listening, I love y'all. Hopefully I'll feel better by Monday and this podcast won't be as short. But until then, have a great weekend, have a great day, and a greater tomorrow. And we will join you next time on The Synopsis as we dive back into the rabbit hole and discuss much more fun things right here on The Synopsis. Goodbye.